Chris Huskilson, President, CEO of Emera, thanks for your time. In hindsight, from a media perspective, do you think it's perhaps something of a PR bungle, maybe to have rate increase requests for 3% over, or 6% over the next 2 years, plus, you know, pretty hefty salary increases in the same week? Can you understand why that maybe rubbed Nova Scotians wrong?
Well, you know, if you actually look at the governance of the two organizations, they're very separate.
Absolutely,
the timing of release of compensation is dictated by law, mm-hmm. relative to annual meetings. The timing of rate proceedings is dictated by the cycle that the UARB has. Mm-hmm. So it's not really something that we're in control of.
Just sort of bad luck.
And so because we're not in control of that cycle, then, you know, sometimes it converges and sometimes it does not. That's nothing that we can control.
And then what are your thoughts on this deprivatized Nova Scotia Power campaign? What do you make of that?
Well, I'm not sure I know about that campaign. But I think if you go back in history, the company has been in and out of government ownership. In 1973, the government nationalized the company and brought all the utilities together, and then in 1992, the government privatized the utility. So that's the history. Mm-hmm. I have worked in both companies. I can tell you that this utility is a lot more efficient today than it was when it was a Crown. I worked there. I know what it looked like.
Right.
And I can also tell you that we relieved the province's books of $3 billion of debt. And if those $3 billion were on the province's books today, that would be a much greater burden, and possibly, in fact, the province had over the 90s and 2000s two upgrades in their credit rating, possibly affect the credit rating of the province today, which would cost more for all debt. So that relief, and today the company has $4 billion. So the debt of the province would be $4 billion higher and maybe more. And none of the circumstances change. Mm-hmm. All of the same fuel challenges, all of the same challenges to do the transformation are all still there. So nothing new happens by having a different owner. The Utility and Review Board, their job is to make sure that Nova Scotia Power is efficient and effective. And as Rob told you in the meeting, the company gets benchmarked. It is in the top 25% from a low-cost perspective of utilities in Canada.
I guess the argument is, though, I mean, there's been about $120 million in profits in 2011, something around that figure.
Sure.
If it were a publicly owned utility, that would be reinvested rather than seeking the rate increases in order to pay for those changes.
No. If that were there, the capital has to be paid for regardless. So if the province actually had to carry that extra $1.5 billion, it would go to pay the $1.5 billion of extra debt. So and the other thing that is important to note is today we pay almost as much in taxes as the return we get from the overall return on equity. So the province already gets an equivalent amount. The province and feds already get an equivalent amount. If the province, if it was a Crown, that wouldn't be paid either. So, you know, I mean, all those factors are there, and you know, at the end of the day, we're not in control of any of those decisions, but I've experienced both. And I don't think the province wants to have another $4 or $5 or $6 billion of debt, and that's what it would have to have.
So we're going to just go back in there.
All right, thanks for your time.
No, thank you.
Next up was John McLennan, chairman of the board. Do you have a moment for an interview?
Sure. Yeah, I'll have an interview.
Okay, great.
Who are you with?
With the Halifax Media Co-op.
Okay.
It's a small organization, it's a trustworthy one.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the frustrations of Emera being portrayed as the bad guy? You were talking about that just a moment ago.
Well, I just think you really have to separate a lot of the activities that are going on inside Nova Scotia Power and a lot of the initiatives that are being taken by Emera. Emera is very, very focused in managing and investing in long-term opportunities both within Nova Scotia but mostly outside of Nova Scotia. I think the Nalcor deal, the Labrador-Newfoundland deal is a fundamental building block for the future, for the province, for all of us connecting together. It's an extremely important project. Our workings in New Brunswick, we're working very closely in New Brunswick, in Maine. Our investments in the Caribbean have all been very successful investments. And that's why our Emera shares are growing. That's why the dividends are growing. And what I'm really proud of is that it is local Nova Scotians that have grown up and learned the business here who are going out into a very competitive world and being very successful. So that's what I don't think enough people really give people credit for here.
So they're just looking at power rate increases?
Well, I understand that because they see power rate increases, they see people's salaries, commensurate with what's being achieved, by the way, and I understand the lack of connection. And one of our challenges is to try and communicate that it's a bigger picture than just Nova Scotia Power and power rates. That's a very complex subject that is being addressed by the regulator, by the management at Nova Scotia Power, and by customer service groups who work with them to try and get to the right solution. So that's just a little concern. Somebody who came back to Nova Scotia from away, I'm very proud to be involved in it, and I would just like to see a little better understanding of that.
Just one final question regarding the Caribbean. I've made a few phone calls, done a few interviews. There's been some serious allegations from Grand Bahamas in particular about thousands now doing without power because of high rates.
I absolutely have no understanding of any of that kind of detail whatsoever. You'd have to ask Sarah McDonald.
Who's not here.
Unfortunately, she's not here. She would have been. She meant to be.
Right.
But I honestly can't answer that question because I do not know.
But in the same sense, if there's, a certain pride in the investments that Emera is taking, but then not knowing what's happening on the ground.
Well, I do know what happened down there was that the power system was tremendously unreliable. Many, many customers weren't even getting bills. There was a huge disconnect between customers and the power company. We are making the investments in Grand Bahama to build a very reliable, very sustainable utility. And I know all of that's going on. I know that from an Emera board point of view. But anyway.
No, thanks so much for your time.
Over time, we'll be very proud of that, too.
Sounds good. Thank you. So, Rob Bennett, you're president of or chairman of Nova Scotia Power Incorporated.
I'm president and CEO of Nova Scotia Power, yes.
So what do you make of the new initiative to deprivatize Nova Scotia Power? Does it have legs? Do you think it'll go anywhere?
Well, Nova Scotia Power was privatized by the provincial government in 92 in order to reduce the provincial debt. And that was an important move for the province of Nova Scotia. And the government accomplished what it set out to accomplish at that time by privatizing the utility. Also, in addition to that, the utility operating as a private entity has turned out to be, as I mentioned in the meeting, a very effective operating utility. And many people don't know that, but when we're benchmarked against other utilities in Canada, our operating costs are near the lowest. Our deployed capital per customer is near the lowest. Our reliability is getting better all of the time. So the result, I think, has been quite good, particularly in terms of the fact that all of those things are helping to keep rates low for customers. Now, people may believe that if it had never been privatized, that maybe things would be different or rates would be different than they are today. And I can tell you that the things that are affecting rates would affect this utility, whether it was owned by a government or whether it was owned by shareholders, because the things that are affecting rates are the cost of fuel that we use to make electricity, and the transformation that's happening, not just in Nova Scotia, but everywhere in Canada, where people are moving off of fossil fuels, particularly coal, moving away from coal because of its carbon intensity to cleaner resources and upgrading infrastructure. So the same issues exist. These are global issues, and that's what we try to say, that you have a committed team who's really trying to manage those issues on behalf of customers, but they're very challenging issues.
What about just, for example, the Trenton Hillside area? Those people there have formed a group. Seems like about once every year they get a massive dump of fly ash all over them, and it seems like Nova Scotia Power has been largely non-responsive, aside from a few, perhaps, let's say, buy-offs, new sod for lawns, weekends, getaways, when the fly ash has been particularly bad. What do you say to them? I mean, they're...
I don't think that that's a correct assessment at all. The fly ash capture systems, or the fly ash that comes out of the units at Trenton, has been reduced year after year for many years. We've improved the technology, we've performed better. Now, that doesn't mean that we've performed perfectly, but we have made huge investments, like the baghouse that we put on Unit 5. So to suggest that there's been nothing done is completely wrong. There has been a lot done. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. But it's an awful lot better than it ever was in the past, and we'll continue to make it better.
And then finally, what about the origins?
Okay.
Just one more question. What about the origins of the coal itself? There's been some contention that it comes from Colombia, where the human rights record is sketchy at best, and that's what's fueling Nova Scotia power plants. What do you say to that?
There have been concerns in the past about the practices of coal mining companies all over the world, and Colombia is no exception. But reviews have been done, independent reviews have been done, and the mine owners who work in those areas have collaborated with the communities as a result of those reviews. So I think that the influence of the customers of those coal mines has actually helped change the situation in some of those countries. But don't forget, not all of our coal comes from Colombia. A lot of it comes from the southern U.S. And we're moving away from it. In another 20, 30 years, we'll use very little coal in terms of generating electricity for Nova Scotians. And that'll mean a cleaner environment and less of these issues.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jerry Ackerman, you're a shareholder with Emera?
Yes. Unwillingly at the moment.
Why unwillingly?
I'm ashamed of what the company has done in my town, which is Annapolis Royal. They've refused to pay their income, their business taxes, their property taxes.
Now, what about their behavior all across Nova Scotia? Do you condone rate increases, coal fly ash blow-offs on people's properties?
Well, it certainly begs for some understanding and explanation, not from above, but from below. We have to understand this at our level. And what we understand at the level of the property tax refusal is that if you take the total that the company pays over all of Nova Scotia, which is $25 million a year, and relate that to the tiny bit of revenue, $1.2 billion, you got 2%. Like, this is an outfit in business, okay? And they're paying 2% of the revenue for property tax. Now, being in business, and I have been quite long, not now, but if I could get away with 2% of my revenue going for property tax, I would be delighted.
Now, are you ashamed enough of a shareholder to get rid of your shares in the
market? Well, so what? That doesn't affect anything. No, the only way you affect anything is to grab a microphone and yell. And that's what these people here today did. They took a strip off the management, didn't they? I don't say I did, but I'm saying that's why we're here.
What kind of changes do you think they need to effectuate in their behavior in order for you to become a satisfied or proud Emera shareholder once again?
I want them to flatten their forehead with their right hand and think.
And what kind of conclusions do you want them to come to?
I want them to realize that they are in business with a lot of people that really want to be cared about, whose interests they want to care for, not just a handful of shareholders. Okay?
And who would those people be? Ratepayers?
Yes. I'm saying anyone. No, I'm saying customers. When I analyze businesses, and this is a profession I've had for a long time, I want my management of my business to care about the customer, number one, the supplier, number two, the staff, number three, the community, number four. I want to obey the law. I want to, okay? That's what I want. And I want this company, any company, to do the same thing. It isn't just protecting the interests of the shareholders. Remember, I put the shareholders on my list there. I want them to care about it, but not number one. They're the last one to care about.
So you do the other things. To take a cut in your returns in order to see them be more corporate responsible.
I want them to spend the money to do the right thing. I could tell you about a company that I've invested in for 30 years, and that's what their motto is, do the right thing. And they do the right thing by their customers. They do the right thing by the suppliers. They do the right thing by the staff and the right thing by the community. And then the right thing by the shareholders in that they pay out their profit to the shareholders after everything else has been done. That's what I want for Emera or Nova Scotia Power or your favorite company, whatever it is.
Are you afraid that's wishful thinking, though, for
no.
this company at all?
No, no, my God, no, it isn't wishful thinking for me. I'm a desk counter. I go to meetings like this. I used to go to the only meetings I would go to were ones where I wanted to take a strip off the management. And I can't say I've always done that, but people have done that effectively. Because that's what the media cares about, is sort of a threat of violence. Well, verbal violence has an effect. If you didn't think that, you wouldn't be part of the media.
Thanks for your time, Jerry.